Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to the CBS Evening News ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery. Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The entire Key Bridge has fallen into the harbor.
The catastrophic bridge collapse in Baltimore.
Yo! What the?
Tonight, the search for answers and the missing as a construction company says six of its workers are presumed dead. What we're learning about the vessel's loss of power and that Mayday call that may have saved lives. This bridge carries some 30,000 people every day. It is a major commuter route, and now it is completely shut down. The CBS Evening News starts now. Good evening. I'm Nora O'Donnell, and thank you for being with us. We are here tonight not far from that catastrophic collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. The devastation is beyond words with this massive structure in ruins, twisted and broken. By daylight, the extent of what happened here became more clear. The video is stunning, and it tells us a lot about what happened after the ship lost power, then collided with the bridge. Tonight, we're also learning more about the survivors and the missing. Construction workers were fixing potholes on this heavily traveled bridge in the early hours of the morning. The community here devastated, many telling us this view will never be the same with the bridge that has stood for decades no longer in the skyline. A state of emergency now issued by Maryland's governor and everyone from the federal government to local law enforcement pitching in to help a community in shock. Dramatic video captured the horrifying moment the massive cargo ship, nearly 1,000 feet long, crashed into a support column on the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore.
If the whole bridge just fell down. Everybody, the whole bridge just collapsed.
Within seconds, a large portion of the bridge collapses, plunging into the Patapsco River.
We are still investigating what happened, but we are quickly gathering details. The preliminary investigation points to an accident. We haven't seen any credible evidence of a terrorist attack.
A closer look at the video shows the ship heading south at about 1:24 a.m. when the lights go dark, but quickly on again. A minute later, plumes of black smoke can be seen billowing from the ship's chimney. Once again, it appears the ship loses its lights. A minute after they come back on, the vessel slams into the bridge.
Never would you think that you would physically see the Key Bridge tumble down like that. It looked like something out of an action movie.
Sources tell CBS News multiple alarms rang out on ship. After several failed attempts to fix the loss of propulsion, the pilot issued a Mayday call, giving officials time to stop traffic on the bridge.
These people are heroes. They saved lives last night.
The impact of the crash was so loud, it jolted Donald Heinbuck, who lives nearby, out of his sleep.
What did it feel like?
It felt just like an earthquake. We've had some earthquakes here before, and that's exactly what it felt like.
And associated with that was the rolling thunder, which I thought was very unusual.
Was the rolling thunder?
It was the sound of the bridge collapsing into the Patapsco River.
Well, it's just incredible to see this firsthand. I mean, we are not far from this. And, of course, this bridge carries some 30,000 people every day. It is a major commuter route, and now it is completely shut down. You can see there's an active search and rescue operation going on right now, more than 12 hours after this accident.
The FBI using robotic cameras underwater to search for six construction workers who were on the bridge. They are now presumed dead by their employer. Two survivors were pulled from the chilly water this morning.
A search and rescue is still underway.
24 members of the NTSB are on the site leading the investigation. They want to examine the voyage data recorder.
It will be critical. It's a critical piece of our investigation, which is why we have a recorders team here.
Authorities say the Singapore-flagged vessel was headed from Baltimore to Sri Lanka, going 9 miles per hour. None of the crew was hurt. Today, President Joe Biden said the federal government will, quote, move heaven and earth to reopen the port and pay for the rebuilding.
I told them we're going to send all the federal resources they need as we respond to this emergency. And I mean all the federal resources. And we're going to rebuild that port together.
Now, federal officials tonight are here on the scene, including the FBI and the National Transportation Safety Board. They're here to investigate. CBS's Chris Van Cleve reports on the timeline of the incident and a similar accident that took place more than four decades ago.
By daybreak, the force of the collision was clear. Pieces of the mangled Francis Scott Key Bridge and crushed cargo containers littered the deck of the dolly. But the first sign of trouble, here, when the lights flickered and went out on board. The giant ship had lost its engine, its electronics, and much of its ability to steer, leaving it on a collision course with the bridge and little time to avert disaster. A mayday call went out as the nightmare scenario unfolded. Michael Kucharski is a former NTSB senior marine investigator.
Losing power as you're approaching a bridge would be just about the worst case scenario.
Loaded down with heavy containers, the captain tried to quickly slow down the more than 900-foot-long cargo ship by dropping its port anchor. Dark smoke could be seen billowing from its stacks, likely the backup generator coming online. But the ship never regained engine power, and it struck one of the two main structural support columns of the bridge. Ben Schaefer is a structural engineer.
Once the bridge was struck by a container ship of that size, there's not a bridge that we build, you know, that's any level of economy and efficiency that's going to survive that.
It's happened before. In 1980, during a blinding thunderstorm, a cargo ship slammed into a support column of Tampa's Sunshine Skyway Bridge. A 1,200-foot span collapsed. 35 people were killed. Since then, cargo ships have more than quadrupled in size.
In the world of infrastructure system, it's a failure, right? I mean, the bridge is gone, the port is closed, people have died.
And Chris Van Cleve is with us now. Okay, so this investigation is just getting underway. What's the NTSB looking for?
Well, Nora, they're going to have to contend with a lot of debris. This was like ramming a Nimitz-size aircraft carrier into this bridge. So there's debris everywhere, but they want to get on board. They want to find the data and voice recorder that should be on board. They're also going to look at the maintenance history of this ship, including reports that the propulsion system may have failed an inspection over the summer. They also want to look at the bridge's maintenance history and its design.
Yeah, how does the power go out? Chris Van Cleve, thank you so much. A short time ago, we spoke with Maryland Governor Wes Moore to ask about the families of the missing and the survivors. And what do we know about the victims' families? How are they doing?
I had the chance to spend time with the victims' families, and they're distraught and they're heartbroken. But I tell you, the hopefulness that they have. These are very prayerful families. And I had the chance to pray with them and pray for them. They define what it means to be Maryland tough and to be Baltimore strong.
Two people were miraculously rescued. What do we know about the survivors?
So there are two people that we know of. One who's actually in shock trauma right now. And so we have a remarkable shock trauma unit here in the city of Baltimore. And they're actively working on one individual and another individual who was actually the leader of that group, who watched it all take place. And I had a chance to spend time with him. And literally he tells a story where he was actually walking away from the bridge when the bridge began to collapse. And so he's watching what happened to him. And even as he said, that was all God's grace.
That's incredible. So essentially he barely escaped.
He barely escaped. I mean, this was an absolutely catastrophic event.
And Governor, I know so many people depend on this bridge to get to work. How quickly can this bridge be rebuilt?
This is going to be a top priority for us to make sure that we can get this bridge built back up.
Part of our conversation with Maryland's Governor Wes Moore, he's actually been at the site of this collapse since early this morning. And he also told us that every day, $191 million of economic activity crosses over that bridge. And the Port of Baltimore is responsible for at least 8,000 jobs. So we asked CBS's Remy Innocencio to look at the impact for the city, state, and our country.
Collapsing in seconds, Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge was the gateway to much of the country. Thousands of trucks transported goods on it daily. Goods, much of which would end up at this 350,000-square-foot warehouse. John Schmidt is vice president and chief operating officer.
It's going to add probably a couple $100 minimum to every truckload.
Each truckload carrying everything from dry goods like food to reams of paper and office machinery.
What's your warning to consumers?
Your product might take a little longer to get to you.
The Port of Baltimore is one of three ports along the East Coast that are at least 50 feet deep and can handle large ships like the Dali. It's the U.S.'s busiest port for cars, trucks, and sugar, handling more than $80 billion in goods last year, employing more than 15,000 jobs.
There is no question that this will be a major and protracted impact to supply chains.
Amazon, FedEx, and other multinationals tell CBS News they're still assessing the economic impact.
The best case for the port in terms of getting it to be working again is probably about a month.
And worst case scenario?
You're looking at a minimum of a year, and I'd be surprised if it's not 2 years.
And before the Port of Baltimore can reopen, authorities first need to remove all of the debris and then redredge that part of the river. But Nora, there's no timeline at all for when that might happen.
Really interesting, Remy Innocencio. Thank you so much. In today's other major news, nearly 2 years after the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade, abortion rights return to the nation's highest court. At issue is access to the widely used abortion pill, mifepristone, along with the FDA's authority to regulate other prescription drugs. CBS's Jan Crawford was there for the oral arguments.
Mifepristone pills!
Protests made clear the controversy. But inside the court, there appeared to be agreement, with a majority of justices on both sides of the ideological aisle highly skeptical of arguments to restrict use of the so-called abortion pill. A key question: why should courts be second-guessing scientific decisions by the FDA on how a drug is prescribed?
Do you have concerns about judges parsing medical and scientific studies?
At issue in the case, the drug mifepristone, used with another drug in nearly two-thirds of abortions. A group of anti-abortion doctors argue the FDA wrongly expanded access to the pill in 2016, when it extended the window women can take it from 7 to 10 weeks, and during the pandemic in 2021, said an in-person doctor's visit was not needed, allowing mail-order pharmacies to ship the drug nationwide. Erin Hawley represents the doctors who say those changes led to increased emergency room visits and compromised women's health.
Women are now left to receive these drugs in the mail or at in their dorm room without ever having been checked by a doctor for life-threatening conditions. That's reckless.
Abortion rights supporters say mifepristone is the safest method of abortion, and the FDA, not the court system, has the final word on drug safety.
The FDA acted on an extensive body of evidence and well within its authority and in accordance with the law.
But in court, most of the 90-minute argument focused not on the merits of the FDA's decision to expand access, but whether the doctors even have legal standing to sue.
And Jan Crawford joins us now. So, Jan, did we get a sense of how the justices might rule?
Yeah, I mean, I think the argument suggested it's going to be a narrow procedural ruling for the FDA, and that would preserve nationwide access to the abortion pill. But we should have a decision by the end of June. Nora?
Jan Crawford at the Supreme Court, thank you. Former President Donald Trump was hit with another gag order today. This time it was imposed by the New York judge overseeing the trial connected to Trump's hush money payments to former porn star Stormy Daniels. The gag order came after the former president lashed out at the judge and his daughter on social media. In other news, shares of Trump's media company soared more than 16% in the first day of trading, which now has a market value of nearly $8 billion. Tonight, the first public statement from music mogul Sean Diddy Combs following raids on two of his homes as part of a possible sex trafficking investigation. CBS's Carter Evans reports on what authorities may have been looking for.
There was nothing subtle when federal agents conducted high-profile raids at two large properties in Los Angeles and Miami owned by music mogul Sean Diddy Combs. Raids that tonight his attorney calls a gross overuse of military-level force.
Why a simultaneous cross-country search?
Oh, I think they wanted this to be a bit of a surprise. It's a big raid, and what they were going in was to try to find all types of evidence.
There are two distinct images of Combs, the iconic performer, and the one named in multiple lawsuits accusing him of everything from rape to sex trafficking. Last December, Combs posted a statement saying, "I did not do any of the awful things being alleged." The lawsuits so far have been in civil court. As for the latest searches,
if it involves sex trafficking or drugs or weapons or other illegal behavior, it can easily go from a civil investigation to what we see now, a criminal investigation.
TMZ published video, it says, was after the raids began. It showed Combs walking around Opa-locka Airport near Miami. A short time later, at the same airport, Miami-Dade police arrested Brendan Paul for drug possession. Paul was described in a previous lawsuit as Diddy's mule, someone used to get drugs and guns.
So what Sean Combs needs to do is follow his lawyer's advice, which undoubtedly is not to talk to people, not try to hinder the investigation, and not try to flee.
Now, Diddy's lawyer calls the law enforcement action an unprecedented ambush. He says his client is innocent, and he emphasized that Combs was never detained. In fact, he cooperated and even spoke with investigators. Nora?
Carter Evans, thank you very much. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin met with his Israeli counterpart at the Pentagon today, with tensions between their administrations at a wartime high. Austin told Defense Minister Gallant that the number of civilian casualties in the Gaza Strip is far too high and the amount of humanitarian aid is far too low. Israeli forces continue to pound the city of Rafah, where more than a million Palestinians are seeking shelter from the war. Robert Kennedy Jr. picks a running mate for his independent run for the White House. We'll tell you who it is. That's next.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. introduced his running mate today, choosing Silicon Valley lawyer and investor and philanthropist Nicole Shanahan. Shanahan is 38 and the ex-wife of Google co-founder Sergey Brin. Kennedy, running as an independent, also considered NFL quarterback Aaron Rodgers, who shares his skepticism of vaccines, and former Minnesota governor and wrestler Jesse Ventura. An important note, Kennedy is currently on the ballot in only one state, Utah, in the general election. Today, a Russian court tacked on an additional 3 months of pretrial jail time for Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich. It was a year ago this week that he became the first American journalist arrested on spying charges in Russia since the Cold War. The U.S. considers both Gershkovich and former U.S. Marine Paul Whelan as wrongfully detained on bogus charges. The lottery jackpots keep piling up. We'll tell you how much is up for grabs tonight when we return. Americans were lining up today for a shot at two huge lottery jackpots. Tonight's Mega Millions grand prize now tops $1.1 billion, and tomorrow night's Powerball jackpot has grown to $865 million. College basketball superstar Caitlin Clark led the Iowa Hawkeyes into the Sweet 16 of the women's NCAA tournament. Clark scored 32 points in their win over West Virginia, breaking the season scoring record. Clark's season total now stands at 1,113 points. She'll try to add to that on Saturday against Colorado. We'll be right back with a final note on the Francis Scott Key Bridge and its iconic namesake.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We wanted to end tonight here, near the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which has significant meaning for the country. This is where it's believed Francis Scott Key witnessed the battle that inspired him to write America's national anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner. He saw the rocket's red glare just a few hundred yards from where the bridge bearing his name stood for decades. This red, white, and blue buoy marks the location. In the War of 1812, Key was detained aboard a boat while the Battle of Baltimore raged for 25 hours. By the dawn's early light, as he wrote, the American flag yet waved. His patriotic poem, set to music, officially became the national anthem in March of 1931. Almost exactly 47 years ago, this majestic steel span across the Patapsco River opened to traffic. It was among the marvels of 20th century engineering. This bridge tonight, in ruins, but the message of Key's anthem still true, a message of American resilience, perseverance in the face of adversity. By the dawn's early light of another day, this community will surely rise again. And that is tonight's CBS Evening News. I'm Nora O'Donnell. Good night.
If you like the CBS Evening News, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey. If you enjoy tuning into the CBS Evening News, there are official t-shirts, hats, mugs, and more available for purchase at ParamountShop.com. These products are perfect for any fan of evening news, and you can take 20% off with code EVENING20. That's 20% off all CBS Evening News products with code EVENING20 at ParamountShop.com.